Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, a personal guide to achieving your financial goals. In each episode, certified financial planner Dominique Henderson reveals insights to the underlying truths of how to be truly financially content by learning to put your money where your heart is. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can learn more about Dominique and his firm by visiting their website, www.djh-capital.com, or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the maven himself, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, and I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And today, we're going to begin a series on money and psychology, as the title there indicates. So, there's a lot to cover here, and I think I need to do it over a few weeks, just so, A, we can keep to 10 minutes or less, give or take. in the presentation and just kind of laying this out, properly, right? So, I want to discuss a couple things. The first is we'll do this in, like I said, four parts. And I think the first is to talk about the ways we spend money, right? And let's just back up just a little bit because the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment is all about giving you the lighter side of finance on, you know, how you can become more fulfilled or more content with your finances and making sure that there's a good balance between, you know, what you spend, save, and invest and how you feel about it while you're doing each of those things, right? That's very important. So that's what we're here to deliver to you. And I want to really use something that I read recently, great book by Ron Blue called Master Your Money. I highly recommend it for its principles and for its content. But I'm going to be using that as kind of the backdrop for this first episode. So if you end up listening to part 2, 3, and 4, you'll definitely want to come back to part 1 to get the, kind of the context, and I'm kind of laying the foundation here. So of the five ways to spend money Ron Blue talks about in his book, we have tax payments, we have debt payments, we have charity, we have like giving and things like that, philanthropy and tithe and offering and things like that if you're on the spiritual side. We have lifestyle support, and then we have saving and investing. And so I have to bring up these five ways because these are the, and I'm not going to really go into an argument per se for why these are the only five ways. You just kind of trust me on that. But three of these are going to be constant. The first two, tax payments you can't avoid. If you live in America, you will pay taxes. And if you live just about anywhere else, you will pay taxes also. I will qualify that by saying that they don't have to all three be constant. Tax payments will be, but debt you can control. But for the most part, I mean, throughout your life, you're going to have maybe a house note until you pay that off. And that's going to be well into, unless you do something drastically different than the norm, which, that's all good if you want to do that. But you're going to probably have a home mortgage, and you're probably going to have, you know, maybe student loans, and you're probably going to have maybe a car note or something like that. So debt's going to be in there. Now, depending on where you are spiritually, myself being a Christian, I believe in giving. And so a lot of you out there are also Christian, so you believe in giving. So those three components of, or those three ways to spend are kind of constant. They're going to be with you for the large majority of your life. Now, what you do when it comes to these last two of lifestyle support and savings, as we'll call it, right? So the problem happens to be that anywhere from, you know, let's call it 10% on the low end, if you were in the lowest tax bracket and you didn't have any debt payments, which is kind of unlikely, but let's just go there, all the way up to slide the scale up to probably 60 to 70% of your income that you make is going to be spent on those first three things. You know, and so what happens is your lifestyle support and your savings fall to the bottom of that hierarchy. And so their priority is falling to the bottom, and the proportion of your income that is going to each of those is falling to the bottom. And so really what this is set up to, this discussion is set up to talk about, is how that particular psychology goes into what you save, spend, or invest, right? Because when we're talking about number four, number five, which are the things that are controllable and that you do have, you know, you can kind of decide how much you're going to do of those, and they're not just constants all the time. You can decide how much you're going to consume with your lifestyle, and you can decide how much you're going to save for your future self, as my wife likes to say it. So I would just say that the more you think about numbers four and five, of four and five, lifestyle support and saving and investing, both of those are about you, but the first is more so about you right now. The last, saving and investing, is about you in the future. And a lot of us are tricked, the psychology, here's that word, that word comes into play, are tricked by marketers and sales techniques to spend way more on our current self than what we need to, right? Overconsuming is really what I'm getting at here on number four. And so really, how could you, the question becomes, how can you dial back what you spend on number four in the five ways to use money and put more towards number five? Let's just say you got 40% of your income left to divvy out between four and five. How much are you using on four, lifestyle support, for the current you, and how much are you using on number five as far as the future you and what you're going to save and stuff? So I want to kind of unpack in the next episodes, next couple of episodes, really, how this psychology of what the media shows us, what we read, what we see from our peers. A lot of you may not think you want to keep up with the Joneses, but I'm going to unveil some biases and some basically just, you know, our own cognitive thinking. Our own hubris, really, on how we think about stuff and how we basically have those biases embedded in our brain, and they cause us to make purchase decisions almost unbeknownst to us. But I'm going to hopefully reveal to you some of these secrets that marketers and salespersons use in order to trigger those biases and those and that hubris within you to make you buy stuff, so that you can change your behavior and actually step back and say, do I really need this? Is this something that I really want, right? Because at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is set yourself up for being able to win with your money, being happy about what you spend, and not consuming it all, right? So that's really where this is set up and designed to go. So next week, we'll begin with some of the psychology, some of the tactics that are being used by marketers through media and other things that we look at that cause us to spend money, possibly in an irrational way. Okay, so that's it for now. I'm going to bring it in for a landing. Hopefully that's been helpful for you. And we'll see you next week on Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. Take care for now. Bye-bye.